April 15th, 2026. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
How's Sharon doing these days?
Roll call, please.
Dan Clanton.
Dan's on the video link. Dan, are you still here?
Hey, Luke, step in there, Luke, step.
He's here.
Monica Valencia. I'm here. Kathy Joy.
Here.
Renee Selvidge.
Here.
Jerry Cooksey.
Here.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Here.
Tim Beatty.
Here.
Eric Creighton.
Here.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Here.
We need to select a chairman and a secretary. Who would like to be chairperson?
I nominate you.
I'm already the budget officer.
Renee.
Nomination on the floor for Renee as the chairman.
Second.
I hate you.
Dan seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
We have to do roll call.
Yeah. Oh, okay, then I'll do it. I just don't like.
Dan Clanton.
Aye.
Monica Valencia.
Aye.
Kathy Joy.
Aye.
Renee Selvidge.
Aye.
Jerry Cooksey.
Aye.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Aye.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes.
And now we need to elect a secretary.
I nominate Kathy Joy.
No.
You don't do anything.
I don't accept one.
Need a second on the floor for Kathy Joy?
Second.
Monica seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
We'll do a roll call.
Dan Clanton.
Aye.
Monica Valencia.
Aye.
Kathy Joy.
Sure.
Renee Selvidge.
Yes.
Jerry Cooksey.
Aye.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Aye.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Did it last year.
Motion passes.
Presentation from the chief, please.
Thank you. For the secretary, they'll do all the work for you. He's you're doing a fine job.
Who are you talking to?
Me.
Okay.
Smile and wave.
He looks at
smile and wave. All right, everybody, thank you for being here. I have a budget message that's in the front of the book there. That's a requirement for the ORS is that we put a budget message together. I do have some highlights so that we're not gonna go over that in detail, however, it's there for you guys to look at. So the district's value increase, we estimate that it increases 2.5%. The state says it can go up to 3%. Because of urban renewal in the city here, we're only going at 2.9%. So we're projected to collect $174,000 more in taxes with that increase. The actual tax value levied last year ended up being $44,498,000 higher than we estimated. So that's good. You estimate your income low, and then you can cover all these costs. We collect other resources. We transport occasionally, so we get EMS. We do plan reviews. We inspect short-term rentals now. Interest on our money in LTIP accounts. We do very well at that, as long as the interest rate stays high. We do get grants, and then we have some contracted services, and some of those contracted services are through Chinook Winds, and then we'll occasionally go out and do other events and things like that that people ask us to do. We do still have some other contracted services for residences outside the fire district. So with all those extra funds, we're going to collect estimated $129,000 more, but that is $190,000 less than last year. And the reason it's less than last year, and I'll talk about that in some upcoming pages, is we didn't anticipate any money coming in from conflagrations. That doesn't mean that we won't get it. It just means it's hard to estimate what that money is.
It's supposed to be a bad price.
This year's budget collects more, or it spends more than we're bringing in by $252,000. So our carryover amount is covering that. Our carryover is decreasing from 6.5 to 4.6 million, and that's because we purchased a ladder truck. That was a $2 million purchase in there. Our personnel costs are increasing 7.35%, our material and services costs are 4.1%, and then our debt service that we estimate is going to raise people's taxes about 2 cents per thousand, so we can meet that need from the county. From last year's budget resolutions, we actually added $390,000 to last year's budget based on going out on conflagrations. We had some donations from some people, and then we sold some vehicles. And so those are kind of where we got that extra money, that 390, and those are the budget line items we put that money into. And so things like the apparatus vehicle purchase, that's allowing us to purchase a new brush rig that we'll be having. It should be here next month. So those are some of the highlights on that. So getting into our budget, we're estimating that we have a $4.6 million carryover, is what I said before. And then all those other areas that we have money coming in. Interest, previously levied taxes that will come in, our highway billing. We anticipate selling some surplus equipment, so the brush rig that's coming in this next month, we're selling another one coming out. And at the end of the ladder truck, we're anticipating selling that. So I guess low at about $60,000 on that. Conflagration, like we talked about, I put a dollar there. That's just a placeholder, so we know that we can add money into that account. The volunteer equipment account is the volunteers buy equipment for the district, and that when they buy something, basically the district buys it and they reimburse it, so I have to show that as an income line. Ambulance transports at 70, those contracted services we talked about. We have miscellaneous sources of income that come in, everything from records request fees to reimbursements from insurance and things like that, and we get about $60,000 off of that. The plan review inspections, those are short-term rental inspections. Grants and donations, and I can talk about that a little bit further on, but if we ask for a grant, we have to show it as an income. If we don't get the grant, we don't spend the money. So we have a grant out there for turnouts. We're going to put out a grant for the water rescue teams putting together a grant for new wetsuits. And we have another grant that we're going to apply for ballistic. Actually, we got the ballistic helmets and things like that. Another one for a drone. So we have to show that money coming in, and that's estimated. If you look over on the right side there, we can see last year's figures of tax money and this year's figures. So our base tax rate is 67.83 cents a thousand. That will bring in estimated 1.9 million. And then our levy will bring in, and that's $1.22. That'll bring in that 3.5 million. So total combined revenue is that 5,488. So you can see we go 5,488. That's 5,488 goes there. So we have all the money and the ending fund balance. Then we have what our permanent rate, our option levy, that's necessary. So total resources, $10,877,000, and that includes our carryover amounts. This is the sheet that I use to estimate what we're going to bring in dollar-wise. You can see that our estimated taxes that we anticipate to get at a 94% collection rate. We also anticipate that it's going to be increasing by 2.5%. We know historically it's been 2.9, so we're guessing low just until we have that. You know, we don't want to guess too high and come in low. And so that's the levy. Again, that or the permanent rate is at 1.9. The levy 3.5. So for the amount of 5,448,000, if we go back a page, you can see that corresponds with that $548,000. Then we have our bonds that are out there, so we estimate what we need to pay for our bonds, and we don't set the tax rate on that. We tell the county how much money we need to make our bond payments, and they go ahead and assess that value. What we estimate is that it's going to raise, we're going to have to increase it, like I said, the page before, another 2 cents to meet this year's obligation for those. Any questions on where our tax money and where our regular money comes from?
I have a question in under resources. I am looking for the figure that you get on money put in investment funds.
So that would
usually be about 3%, shouldn't it?
So if you look up top there under interest, so that's $150,000.
Wow, that's not very much.
So I can tell you, again, not knowing what interest rates are going to do this next year, our current interest that we have collected this year is $253,000. But I don't know in December of next year what our interest rates are going to be. So guess a little bit low on that, and if we end up with $80,000-$100,000 more, that would be great. If something changes in interest rates, the feds cut the interest rates and things like that, we're covered.
Is that the government loan?
Yep, the local government investment pool, LGIP accounts.
Because I think they're up around 3% right now.
I think they're 3.6 last I looked at. We kind of get a monthly thing on that.
I just want to remind people that, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, 23% of the property owners are in a rural, urban, or rural district. So we do not collect any tax on 23% of the properties.
So it's frozen. So we're collecting money, but it's frozen at what it was when they opened those urban renewal districts. And yeah, that's 23% of our, and 23% is the largest, it is the largest property amount of any city in the state of Oregon. I mean, the city of Portland doesn't have 23% of their property tied up in urban renewal. Lincoln City is the poster child of how much money to get. I've heard her say that at other meetings.
There is a limit to the amount of property that they can put in it, and I think it's around
25%.
25.
So we're at 23% of our property. Bumped right up to it. Mm-hmm. And there's two urban renewal districts. They won't go away for 25 years. And by the end of it, they will have collected more than $10 million from the fire district alone.
That's just
an FYI. That just goes directly to the city?
The city. The city collects that and uses it in their urban renewal zones to do infrastructure projects, building roads,
painting buildings,
sidewalks, all sorts of stuff like that.
Upgrades,
yeah.
Sure.
Putting in gas lines.
They don't pay us.
This city is probably the biggest disgrace, because when you take urban renewal money, it's supposed to generate money to pay off that in debt. And in Lincoln City, it's a total failure.
It is.
Absolute failure.
Their year 2000 one that they did, that was closed in 2000, when I brought that up during the city council meetings when they were talking about it, they said, well, that was a poor example of what we did. I don't know, it's a shiny example of what you did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you.
So let's look here at what we have for our proposed budget. So under personnel services, now personnel services is 82% of our budget is personnel services. And so the first section here is is what we spend for our volunteers. So straight across with the LOSAP, the Volunteer Incentive Programs, we kept that at $30,000. Their wellness program, they haven't spent any money in the wellness program for the last couple of years, so I'm zeroing out that fund. Association support, so we give the Volunteer Association $1,500 a month for their discretion. It's district money, but they get to use it for what they want. So that money's staying the same. The program events meals fund sponsors our awards banquet and different things like that. The main one is the awards banquet. Our medical expenses for volunteers. So our volunteer ranks in the past 4 months have gone up significantly, and we've had to pay for volunteer their physicals. And we're coming up short this year, so anticipating the trend continues, I added $3,000 into the medical expenses. Life insurance is still staying the same. Again, with more volunteers, you need to do more background and screening on those volunteers, and that's a requirement by the state of Oregon to be a firefighter, police officer, EMT in the state of Oregon. You must have a background investigation done. So I raised that a bit. PERS contributions for volunteers, because some of them make, they get above that 600 hours, and we do have to pay PERS, not very often, but we do. The duty shift program, so volunteers can come in and do shifts with the on-call crews or the paid crews. And again, that's one of those funds that hasn't been utilized extensively. So I was able to lower that down. And I have our current budget numbers on that. So if you have any questions as to what those are, I can easily see that. So for instance, medical costs. We budgeted $5,000 last year that you can see. So far this year, we've spent $9,121. So we need to raise that type of stuff up. We provide air and ground membership to Lifelight and Pacific West, again, to volunteers and the board members. And so we increased that, again, because our volunteer numbers are increasing. So that went up 500. So even though we brought some of those things down a little bit by not putting in the wellness program and also reducing the volunteer duty programs, $109,000, so it's $2,000 cheaper than the year before.
I thought you told me we weren't qualified for that.
Then we'll get into the payroll stuff. So payroll for myself has gone up. I'm under contract. Payroll for the deputy chief and the training officer, both of those guys, we have a proposed 5% increase for them. That's more than 5%, as I had to explain, because they are also in line for step raises this year. So they'll get a step raise, and then that will move up to, and they will get that 5%.
So that 5% is included part of the step raise, or is the step raise part of that 5?
No.
So
it's a
step
raise. It'll be a step raise at their 4%, and then we're increasing their rate by another 5.
Step plus 5.
So, and it's really kind of 50-50, because the pay raise will occur on July 1st. They're not going to get their step raise until January 1st. They're not in line for a step raise till January, based on the date of hire. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Is that a typical what we do annually?
It depends on dates of hire. So for all the firefighters and all the captains, some of them were hired in August and some of them were hired in February, and that's when their step raises occur. But overall, they would get the proposed rate increase at 2% is what we put in there for now. We're not finished with contract negotiations, but that would be across the board for everything. But then they would get that 4% raise when it comes up to their anniversary date. So
but
it's
not everybody.
It's not all at once.
So are all those positions union positions?
All of
the ones that are getting the 5%?
No.
The deputy chief positions, they're not union, they're salary positions.
Right.
And then our office personnel, Krista and Creanne, are not in the union. Back on last year. Everybody else is in the union except for one person who's opted out for being in the union. However, he still falls under the contract.
Right.
And we have to do
right. So that 5%, is that typical what we did last year?
We did 4% last year. So you look at the salaries and what they're getting. So let me give you an example. Right now, there is a position open for a deputy state fire marshal in Lincoln and Tillamook County.
Okay.
They came to Cody Height and tried to recruit him.
Okay.
And Cody Height makes less than that position currently makes. So he has to decide, do I want to make more money or do I like where I work, right? So trying to use it as a comparable, because
right.
A deputy state fire marshal does inspections and does investigations just like what Cody does here for us.
Okay.
And so I looked at that one as being, that's pretty close. They came and recruited him.
Well, and it's kind of a retention, right?
Yeah, and for positions like that.
Right.
So We look at things like that as a comparable. I would use that for Cody as a comparable. Now that's today. I don't know that on July 1st that's the current. If you look up right now under the job posting, that's the top. They gave the entry level and the top step. I don't know that on July 1st with the state that increases also. They didn't say that. Okay. I can't research that.
Okay. I just wanted to know what your thought
my mentality was
there.
Yeah.
Well, no, not mentality, thought process. I'm just trying to get
two
it.
Different things. He's going to hit me now. And we look at these gals back here and what they make as compared to what other people make. There's the same thing, right? So that's why their proposed pay increase for them is at 5%.
Okay.
I can tell you that one of them works here and took a $10 an hour pay cut to come work here. And was working kind of a similar job, but had an administrative position in another place when she came to work here.
Okay.
So those are the reasons why.
Okay.
So those are the deputy chief training, fire marshal, the maintenance guys. So the maintenance guys, I proposed to the union a 5% increase for those guys. I did that is because they are the two lowest paid employees here in this fire district. And if I were to go down to the county shops or to the city shops here and say, hey, what does your mechanic make here at the county shops? And that's why I hired one, Bo Brenneman, as a mechanic. They are underpaid from what those positions are. And so that's why we went 5% up for them. It still doesn't get them up to what firefighters are making, but it gets them closer and reduces that gap in there.
They also go to fire calls, don't they?
They do, so we wrote in their job description that they could go to fire calls if they were qualified to do so. That did two things. Gave them the opportunity for overtime. It also kept them in the police fire side of PERS. So if you don't do firefighter duties, you don't get police fire, you get general services, which is a kind of a big difference when it comes to retirement. So we wrote that in so they could have that opportunity and they would be able to take advantage of those things. That helps with that retaining people stuff. Payroll for firefighter engineers, so we take all 15 of those positions and I take the whole numbers and I say, all right, this guy's at step 3, this guy's at 5, this guy's top step, average them all out, so they're averaging step 4, and that's what I base those numbers on. And with the proposed 2% increase, that's a $70,000 increase in that line item. And then the same thing with the captain's positions, step 5 is the average. And so moving that over, that moves them, that group of 6 is a $40,000 pay increase that goes between them. We do have temporary employees, so that was funded 3 years ago by Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office, and that's their amount that they would do, $35,000. The board looked at it last year and then again this year, even though we applied for the grant, pretty much guaranteed we're not going to get the grant, but we saw the advantages of those two people on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during the summer. And so we kept that position in. Now, if we need to move some money around and we start cutting things, that would be one of the first positions I would cut. I don't think it's worth the squeeze, to be honest with you. I think that the interaction that they have with the public and then being out in the Otis and Rose Lodge area is way better than cutting positions like that. And we do hire our volunteers to run those positions during the summer. Overtime, because the pay raises are in there, the overtime budget's increasing by $60,000. And then also pay raises cause incentive and acting and capacity pay to increase by $3,000. So the total stuff you can see there for payroll at $3,021,000. So we're going up about not quite $185,000 just in payroll.
Chief?
Yes.
So we're spending 82% of our budget on personnel, correct?
Yes, personnel services.
Okay.
Next section of that is the other stuff that comes in there. So payroll taxes, they're about the same. They're flat. Our PERS this next year is estimated to be $1 million that we're going to pay in the PERS. That's their rate is flat from last year. And we pick up the 6% that our employees are, there's amount that the district puts in and amount the employees put in. Due to an agreement years ago, we paid that 6%. And so there'll be $1 million in PERS. Staff medical insurance, so we're are required to keep my union contract an equal to plan, and our equal to plan is going up 10%. HRA VIVA contributions, we look in, and that can change based on somebody gets married, they have kids, different things like that, pick different plans, but I think we're gonna be okay with the same amount. Accidental death dismemberment policies and that, we're gonna have to increase that by a couple $1,000s. We do career staff physicals, so every career firefighter is required to go, it depends on your age, you have to go up to Portland and have a physical done. We're increasing that a little bit, and that's a pre-employment physical. We're already looking at least one person who's going to be leaving. Right now he's in backgrounds to go to Portland Fire. I estimate that he'll probably be leaving by the end of the summer. Another person that we have that's in PERS has joined the National Guard, and he's leaving in July, and he'll be gone at least 8 or 9 months. Federal law says we must pay his PERS as if he was here for that entire time.
Jesus Christ.
So that's money, I mean, he's not even working, and we have to pay his PERS.
Correct.
And so that's another reason that PERS went up a little bit more. The good thing about the staff physicals, the career physicals, is we do get money back from our insurance companies a few months later. So we pay it out, and that's why on that other miscellaneous income line, that's where we show that money comes back in. So that offsets the cost of those physicals a little bit.
What do you figure as a percentage of personal services per employee? In other words, is it 50 for every dollar of salary, is it 48-49% now for personal services, includes all the money.
Oh, for PERS and
including health insurance, everything else?
It's about 50 cents on the dollar. So just
yeah.
PERS alone, depends on which program you're in. If you're in tier two, I think there's one guy in here in tier two.
Mm-hmm.
That's 40 cents on the dollar for him.
Okay.
The officer people is 34%. So that, you know, for every dollar we put in your pocket, we've got to pay.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, we've got to pay that to PERS.
Well, I'm talking about the whole package. Social Security, everything we pay.
So we don't use Social Security for our people for the first 6 months. When
okay.
they get into PERS,
yeah.
that's considered a plan that's equal or better, and we can opt out of Social Security if we do that.
So in other words,
for insurance,
it appears to me that it's so
long. For every dollar they get, it costs us another 50 cents. And
okay.
and I do have those numbers in.
Okay, well, that's roughly what I was getting at.
Yeah. So our Civil Service Commission, we put $500 in there. We never spend $500 on them. Maybe we'll spend $50, but in case they need something done for the Civil Service Commission, I've never found anything. Our workers' compensation insurance, so we switched from WHA insurance down to SAFE, and it's going to save us a bit of money on that. But that can change quickly if somebody gets hurt. So I can currently this year, what we're doing on workers' compensation insurance, we budgeted last year, you can see 195. So far this year, we've only paid 120. And so I'm thinking that, and of course, that's a kind of a prorated month-to-month basis.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes out, Kathy will add that for the next month. But we did pay a bit more than that. So. Employee benefits, which are if they opt into a deferred comp program, we match 3%. Because the pay raises are going up, we had to add another $3,000 to that. So you can see all those together. So total personnel services for this proposed budget, $5,228,050, and you can see that went up about almost $400,000. Any questions on the personnel services that I can answer?
I can
compare it to what we're doing currently on the budget if you need to.
I don't see anything for secretary or treasurer.
So let's get into our material and services account. So accounting's gonna go up by $4,000. We know our audit is going up based on a contract we just signed with them. Legal services, it depends on how much you use them and how much we haven't used that much this year. In fact, when I first started, that line item was $25,000. Apparently, the fights that we may have had have gone down enough. Legal publications, so that's announcements that we put in newspapers. For instance, this budget committee meeting had to go into the newspaper. It's a requirement still. It's archaic. I don't know why they still do it, but it's still an ORS. And so that's money for that.
Where's the newspaper?
District licensing fees. So that's our licensing fee if we have to pay anything to the Department of Motor Vehicles, which we generally don't, but sometimes we have to go buy for like our jet skis get licensed. It also pays for our Oregon Health Authority ambulance licensing for the two vehicles that we have on that. And that went up a little bit this last year. Dues and subscriptions. So that goes to our dues that we paid for the Oregon Volunteer Fire Association for Special Districts of Oregon. Those have gone up a little bit also. Professional services, I increased that just a little bit, knowing that there's gonna be increased from probably our EAP providers and from HR answers and stuff like that. I don't know what those are gonna be. Levy renewal, so our election that's gonna be on the ballot here next month, we have to pay for that. It's similar to the two positions that were on the ballot last year, and so it estimated from the county at about $3,000. So that's that stuff put together. A bit higher than last year, as you can see, by a little less than almost $11,000. Moving down, bank fees. So that's one of the things that, as the board knows, our bank fees have gone up a little bit. And we're over budget this year on that, so I'm hoping that $3,500 covers that. Same thing with office supplies and equipment. The cost of things are going up. Computer equipment, so that's kind of a different line. We have a new IT provider, and that IT provider is very cybersecurity and security conscious. Anything that's not Windows 10, that's not moving to Windows 11, they tell us we have to replace in order to maintain that. Now, if you remember a couple of years ago, we got spoofed on an email and ended up having to pay out a lot. We paid $1,000, our insurance company paid the rest. But a lot of that was due to the lack of security that we had from our previous IT provider. And they were in here the other day and they scared me on the fact that if you get a robocall and you start talking to that person, three words, and AI has captured your voice, and they can take and recreate your voice and call any of your friends, and they think it's you. And they said that is huge right now. AI is killing cybersecurity. So we need to replace three desktop computers this next year, and then we discussed at the board meeting that their board computers are 5 years old now, and so that's the cost in there for five new board laptops. Miscellaneous expenses just up a couple of $100. Postage and shipping, again, because that stuff's going up a little bit there. Our copier leases, they're pretty consistent. They have not told us anything about an increase on that. Software programs that we use for our inspection program, which is APX, check in and cruise sensor stuff, are programs that we use for inventory management and then for our cruise scheduling programs. We do have a line item in there for transfers of donations to the Volunteer Association. So somebody comes in, hands a check to us, say, hey, I want to make a donation. Here's $100. The check's made out to the district. We cash it, and we have consistently in the past, the Board of Directors transfers that money to the Volunteer Association. So that's what that's for. Travels, meals, and for administrative staff when they go out of town. We'll send somebody down to go pick up a vehicle. We'll go down to Coburg or something like that. We're able to fund that by lunch. When we have different meetings, we have captains meetings quarterly. That buys food for those meetings. And we're a little slim on that budget line item. So that's the increase of that is about $5,000 for that section. We'll get into utilities. So the internet, cable, and data stuff is going to stay consistent because we do have a contract for 5 years with them. So that's $33,000. Our IT services increased a little bit. It actually dropped down with our new IT provider, went back up a little bit because he came to me last month and said, hey, look, you need to protect your email programs through Microsoft better. I need you, you have to do this. He just says, if you don't do it, this is your fair warning. If you don't do it, there's nothing we can do to fix it. And then also with that, our cost of our website went up $25 that we didn't account for. They just suddenly did it. And so now we have to account for that. Active comms is what we have so that our we have active 911 on your phones. I know several of you have it in there. That's what that active comms is. Wireless services for our cell phones, MDs, and tablets is staying consistent at $8,000. We have not overspent that line item. Utility costs, and I'm throwing a guess here, that we're only going to go up $1,000. A lot of that can be mitigated by people turning off lights and, you know, turning down the heat and things like that.
Electricity went up again, so you may want to add more to that.
Well, so I can look at currently this year we had for utilities we budgeted $42,000 for utilities. And currently this year we have paid $32,000. So we have about $10,000 left in the next 3 months. I don't expect the gas bill to go up. It's getting warmer. And Tim's retiring, so that's going to help. And I also expect, because it's daylight savings, the electricity should go down a little bit. So I think that we have got enough in there to cover those utilities,
okay.
Unless there's some giant rate increases. And if there are, we can kind of cover those from other areas. All this, you got to understand, the material and services is just one big bucket.
Yeah.
I try and separate it out. That doesn't mean that if we go over, oh crap, we can't pay the electric bill this month. It just gets transferred over from something else that we're saving. So personnel services is a bucket, material and services is a bucket. I'm just trying to estimate what those buckets should be filled in. Let's see here. Wireless service, we talked about utilities, alarm monitoring. So alarm monitoring, we haven't been told of any increases through ConoPro. So that's not up to date for those. Here's our building maintenance items that we have. And so last year we had a significant increase. You can see in station 13 where we had to replace the roof, and that caused that line item to go up considerably. The only things that we have here that we're looking at is we had a budget request to replace the man door going into the bays at station 13, and that door is falling apart, so Bob's going to get on that. We increased our elevator maintenance contract, and the reason that we did that was they have three different plans, right? The bronze, silver, the gold. We went with the gold plan because in the gold plan, when it comes up to your annual testing of the smoke detectors and that is included. And every 10 years, you have to do a burst valve test on the pump motor that's at the bottom of the elevator. And that's a $10,000 test. So if you get the gold plan, basically they kind of bank your money and it ends up penciling out being less for those tests than if we were to just say, okay, I will pay for it when the bill comes in. So we spread it out.
Who told you to go to the gold?
And Tim told me to go to the gold. It was brought to the board before we agreed to that package anyway. Yes, Nancy.
Drill tower, I thought we were doing like $14,000.
That's this year's budget still.
Okay, still, okay.
Yep, so okay. That's the roof replacement on there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still, that contract is signed and is supposed to be done when they have a few good days of weather, of which we've had and they haven't done, so.
And that is Pfeiffer?
Pfeiffer Roofing, yes.
All right, and then we need to make a call.
So everything else kind of stayed the same on there. And based on current repair things. The one thing that did go up a little bit, you can see there, so we have a radio site agreement, and that's a shared maintenance agreement that we have with the county to maintain the microwave dishes so that Fire 1 and Fire 3 connect together, and that's going to go up 5% this next year. We've had enough in there since Chief Baker was here to cover those increases, but this year it's going to be over that 11,000 and it'll be approaching the 12. It won't be the 12 completely, but it'll be close to that. Any questions about building maintenance? Anything specific? Liability insurance. So our liability insurance that we've been notified by special district is going up 10%. So we went from 110 to 121. The next thing we're looking at here is equipment operations and maintenance. So we're leaving the maintenance and repairs at $100,000. And I can tell you that, so for instance, right now we've spent almost 79,000 in equipment repairs. We had budgeted 100,000 last year, but conflagration money, we added to those line items. And so we actually have 137 to spend. Fuel is gonna be the difficult one. So right now, we have $8,600 left in our fuel budget for the year. That's not gonna cut it. I increased it by $20,000 in hopes that we can. There was a news story on, I don't know if several of you saw it, but McMinnville Fire Department, they budget $5,000 a month for fuel. They're paying $7,000 a month for fuel. Last month, Chief Godfrey paid $11,000 a month for his fuel bill. So hopefully things may calm down, but I've increased that budget line item by 20 to cover that. Water rescue manual maintenance is $2,000. That's done in-house now. We don't send that out to Mr. Blair anymore. And those guys have said, yeah, 2,000 will cover it. Same thing with water rescue equipment. They're happy with that. This next year, we've increased our maintenance on our radio communications equipment. So all of the radios that are here, station radios and vehicle radios, this year, we do it every other year. We have the company come over from Salem and do preventive maintenance on all that, making sure everything's running properly. Fire rescue supplies, we kept that flat at $50,000. But again, when we go out on conflagrations, we're able to boost that line item up a little bit as needed. Medical supplies, again, the same thing. We're keeping that. We were able to this year with a generous donation from the health district at $25,000 to that line item to purchase a few AEDs and things like that. So even though those are, that's if we didn't get anything, that's what we would have to spend on that. Equipment repairs and maintenance, I raised that by $1,000, and that takes care of extrication equipment, any compressors, SCBA repairs, turnout repairs, things like that. We have already, this year, I have $80 left in that. So I put out a memo today to those people saying, hey, unless it's an urgent thing, we can't spend any more money out of this line item. If it was something we need to, we'd find the money. Uniforms are flat about the same at 23. Disaster preparedness, that's a 50-50 matching grant from the county. So if you look at the grant donation, that comes in 2,500. We match that at 25, so that's $5,000 for that. If we don't get the grant, we don't spend the money. Equipment testing, so we're able to lower that a little bit because we have fewer equipment that needs to be testing because we've gotten rid of some of our vehicles. And we're also doing a few more things in-house, so we're able to lower that by 3,000. But overall, that went up to 341. Moving down to training, public education, training stuff stayed the same. The budget requests were all the same. The computer stuff, so our software program went up by a couple hundred dollars, so we're able to capture that in that line item. In-house training the same. We have a new program here, our cadet program, Youth in the Fire Service. After discussing with Mr. Wilkinson and Captain Schroeder, we need to put a line item in there for that to help cover mm-hmm. those costs of $3,000.
Is that gonna be once a year or twice a year training?
For the Youth in the Fire
cadet,
Service program?
For the cadet, yeah.
That's program. Weekly training.
No, how many, they do like 12 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, and then?
No, the cadet program uh-huh. is every Monday night.
Oh, okay.
They come in every Monday night.
And we forever.
We have 6 high school kids in mm-hmm. that program.
Right.
And they come to training every Monday night.
Okay, I thought there was a time frame.
Nope. Now, the Recruit Academy for those eight firefighters that are over 18, mm-hmm. that's a 12-week program that they're doing right now.
Okay.
Next thing we have is our EMS, PPSST and EMS recertification. This next year is a recertification year for EMTs and paramedics. That's why that went from 1,000 to 7,000. And then the next year after that, it'll drop back down. But every other year, we have to increase that line item. Recruit Academy, so that's if they need stuff for plywood for the props that they have, anything that would be used during the Recruit Academy. That's $1,000, that flat in there. We've maintained the education, it's not a scholarship program. An employee would want to go, and so for instance, I have an employee right now who is taking his EMT advanced class. He takes the class, passes his national test. After he passes the test, we reimburse him. If they fail, they don't get reimbursed. So here's the carrot, pass the class, and then we'll reimburse that. So he's in there right now for $2,500, but we've notoriously put that $10,000 into that program. I can tell you so far this year, we've only spent $1,065, but there'll be a few more again when he comes back from that class and some other classes people are taking. Fitness program, $2,000 is still left in that. When they decide that they need some fitness equipment, that's the line item that comes out of. Fire marshal projects for Cody, so that's it, stuff that comes with public education information, for instance. In about the next week and a half, you'll see that flyer that comes out. It's out in everybody's mailbox. That alone is $7,500 just for that to go out. And we don't go to businesses, we only go to residences. CERT assistance, so we pay for an insurance policy for the CERT team, and that went up this year by $600. And then our volunteer recruitment. So volunteer recruitment right now, they paid for a banner with that money, and they pretty much utilized the entire amount with that one item. So we increased that by $500 to help that out for recruitment. So total material and services, $921,900. Any questions about?
Well, I'm gonna ask you about pressurized extinguishers. Do you test here at all, or?
No, sir, we don't do any extinguisher testing. That's a third-party company that comes in. Our extinguishers are serviced by somebody who comes in and takes care of those.
Would it pay you to have that as a sideline?
I have not looked into it. I don't know what it would take. We would have to have the equipment to recharge it and do those types of things. And then I bet you have to have an additional insurance, because we use your extinguisher and then you go out and don't work, you're gonna come back and knock on the door.
Okay, I didn't know how you handled it here.
Yeah, so we have a third party come in. Anybody else who comes in and says, hey, where can I get it done? There's a couple different companies we refer them to.
Out of Newport or?
Valley Fire Service, and they make a trip through here, and there's another place out of McMinnville that will come down here. We have a fire extinguisher trainer, and it's an electronic board. And you take an LED light on a fake extinguisher, and so we don't have to utilize that nasty, dusty stuff floating through the air.
Yeah.
And as you can see, if you looked at our Facebook page, Cody went out and trained the Sea Gypsy Motel group. Mm-hmm. I think there was seven or eight of them that he went in and did that training for those folks.
Well, what type of fitness program is there for the firefighters?
So they have equipment at both stations, here and down at Station 16, and they are allowed 1 hour a day on duty to work out. All of our employees and our volunteers also have a membership to the community center, and some of them go down there and utilize the community center. And that's a benefit the city gives us for free.
Right.
Is that part of the wellness? Or Matt was taking out.
No.
What's the wellness? That was
so the wellness program was in the volunteer side of things, and they just never used the money for anything. If they came to us and said, hey,
what was the wellness program?
Well, you know, if you wanted, and I looked at it more of a.
We had one at PacWest. It was like Wednesday was like healthy soup day.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
That's what I would look at it being is something if they wanted someone to come in and talk to them about eating right or going and meditating or, you know, getting acupuncture, who knows. But they, none of the volunteers have ever utilized it. It's been out there and they've never utilized it.
It's gone.
Yeah. So, next section is capital outlay. So capital outlay are those big purchases that we look at. So the first one in there is, again, we saw on the income side that the Volunteer Association would purchase things. This is the line item we would purchase those out of, but that money would be reimbursed on that income side that we had on the first page. We still have a Assistance to Firefighter grant out there for turnouts at $103,000. That's kind of a matching thing. I think we would have to match 10% of that. But we haven't heard anything. FEMA shut down.
What is one turnout cost, please?
One set of turnouts, we're at, so we're at almost $6,000.
Wow.
You can see last year we spent that money, spent $15,000 on extinguisher training and then our new fire truck, the $2,055,000 for that new ladder truck. Water Rescue has put a grant into the Gary Sinise Foundation, I think is what he said, to try and get $32,000 for water rescue equipment. The same thing as we're looking at, hopefully getting a grant for the drone. Even if we don't get that, that's one of those pieces of equipment that I think is vitally important based on what we've used it for. We have a drone. The battery life on it is about 10 minutes at best. And so I had some discussion with the sheriff's office, and he recommended this drone here at $12,000 and the extra batteries. The cool thing about this new drone, not only does it look for heat signatures, but it'll look for a color change. So if you're flying around and you're looking for the guy who's wearing a yellow life vest, that drone will say, there's yellow, and point at it and fly you to it. So you're not staring at the screen trying to figure out those different colors.
That's cool.
How many people are certified to use it?
So right now we have one that's certified to use it, and he is actually an instructor to get their 103-4 license, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. 104, yeah, one of those numbers with the FAA. So he can actually teach that class, and he's got a couple more people that are interested in doing that. That's why I want them to use that old drone that has 10 minutes. I'd rather them crash that than crash a $12,000 drone.
Yeah.
Yes.
The police department has drones, but yes. Are we getting a drone that can drop stuff, like life jackets? I mean.
Probably not with this. Right, those heavy lift drones, and we looked 60, at one 000. And had a demonstration of one that actually loggers are using to string high lines. Mm-hmm. And those things are $30,000, mm-hmm. and they're big. Mm-hmm. And he took it and lifted it up and lifted 60. A chainsaw around the building and showed us how much it can lift.
Awesome.
That's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Let's put a
and the police department drones, so. The other day we had another person that went down off of God's thumb down the hill, and we're like, we want to get a drone in the air. No Lincoln City police officer was answering their phone off duty to utilize a drone. So I called the sheriff's office. None of their guys were on duty to come use that drone. I said, well, what do you need it for? You know where the guy is? I'm like, yeah, but I'm launching a jet ski by himself, and I want to have Overwatch to say if something bad happens to that. It was a safety issue.
There's serious rocks in there. So.
Yeah, it was bad in there. So what we ended up doing is Depot Bay, they had on duty their one drone operator, and they were bringing their drone up to do that if we needed. So there's a significant delay. When we have a water rescue out here and we need to get a drone in the air to find those people, I want a new one here at this department to utilize. So to me, that's an important purchase that even if we don't get a grant, I'm going to find the money to buy.
The one that Depot Bay has, is it comparable from what you want to buy?
I think he's a few generations behind us.
Oh.
So, and the one that I'm talking about here, this Mavic 4, is the one that that their search and rescue coordinator, Bruce McGuire, who's the deputy, he says, this is the one you want. He showed it to the sheriff, and the sheriff saw that demonstration. He goes, buy that. Buy it, we'll find the money. It was that impressive to those guys. And he said, that's the one you need to get. So That's the one I budgeted for. And then we have another station improvement project that the board brought up, and specifically Mr. Drayton, for a lighted sign and a message board out at Station 12, and the costs on that are about, it's going to be about $45,000. So total capital outlay, $212,000. And again, a couple of those things are grant funded. So you see all the numbers added together, personnel services, material services, capital outlay. So our total budget is $6,361,950. I kind of get in the little weeds. Kathy would be mad at me. She would say, why didn't you just say 632? You know. But that's what it is. We always have a contingency amount in there. And then we also anticipate what our ending fund balance may be based on what we started with. And so if we started with that money and then that ending fund balance, you see that there is $10,877,454. So let's back up here. You look at the left line, $10,877,454. So it balances. That's what it needs to do. We may have some additional carryover, but that's not guaranteed. So if we don't use any of our contingency money and we don't use 3% of our budget, we may get a little bit more in that ending fund balance that would bring that up to $4,681,000. Again, that's our savings account for other things that we need. The next pages, and I don't know that we want to go into a depth if you have any questions. We go out and ask our firefighters and anybody to put together budget requests, what they want to do. And so I put those in there and then calculate them out and then look at what do we have, can we do that? For instance, the cyanide poisoning kit, that's $1,900. Those expire about every 18 months. We've never needed to use one. I just couldn't see the benefit in that. For instance, the city of Salem has two and they're out on the battalion chief rigs. And so, I mean, where do we buy, if we buy one, where do we put it? 9 fire hose nozzles, that's just because that guy wants, the firefighter that put in for that wants to replace nozzles. Our nozzles don't need to be replacement. He just likes this new one. And for $12,000, we couldn't see doing that. Again, with replacing 12 recliners in the fire stations, our recliners are okay. Eventually they'll have to be replaced, but we don't have the money this year. The other things are that we said yes to. The next line items there are, comes in for the SCBA parts, our uniforms, different maintenance items, all our training budget items, those types of things. So those are all the budget requests that came in. And here's our proposed pay scales. So right now, again, it's not finalized with the union. So those pay scales are there as what we anticipate being. A 5% increase for the administrative assistants and a 5% increase for our two deputy chiefs, and then I'm under contract. Any questions about that?
Nope.
All right, all the rest of the stuff are the LB forms. You don't want me to go through that every LB form here.
Nope.
Those are all the LB forms, and those numbers do match up with what we have. So then we have the three motions. So again, that one motion, that $10,877,454 aligns with our total budget. We're back on that first page.
The
next motion is for our bond payment. Yes. And again, we tell the county how much we need, the total requirements, and then they levy those taxes on our behalf based on what the valuation costs. We get the money to pay off the bonds. And then the last one in there is what we have left over in our bond fund from our capital projects of $181,000. I anticipate that we're going to use most of that when that ladder truck gets here to finish outfitting it with different things that it needs.
Yep.
So those would be the three motions. We've talked about those. There's some fancy pictures.
Can I ask a question about wages? Why are you thinking that they're only going to get a 2% increase?
Because our current contract that we have was the first year was 5%, the second year was 4%, and the third year was a minimum of 2%. And so right now we're discussing comparables. And when we get our comparables lined out, and I'll just tell you, with the comparables that we put out, our guys are above average for the comparables. Now, they're going to come up with their list of comparables, and then we'll negotiate back and forth.
So, okay.
But that's what their minimum is 2%, so that's why we put the 2%.
Who all sits on your negotiating board for?
So for the district side, the board has appointed me, and then Chief Height, Cody Height is there, and the union, I've seen like four different people show up at those meetings now. It keeps changing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess we pretty much agreed at one time there, a couple of meetings ago.
I'm moving forward with what the executive session was and those things. So unless there's a compelling reason that I need to come back to you, and I will, because eventually, the contract's not with me. The board of directors signs the contract. And again, this is wages only in this third year. The next year, the entire contract opens up. We have a couple of memorandums of understanding that need to be codified into the contract that we'll do next year. And they're simple things, like people were putting down on daylight savings, well, I worked an extra hour, so I'm going to put an extra hour of overtime down.
What?
But then when it came to where daylight savings went the other way, they weren't subtracting it. It's like, all right, so most contracts are just like, forget about it, right? Either you work that day or you don't, and you know, most, and the union president found that. He goes, yeah, this is ridiculous. Everybody else does it this way, so we put an MOU to cover that.
Okay.
Those kinds of things will be in there. So. Any questions on, have I talked for a full hour already?
Yeah, you did. You're done.
Wow.
All right, North Lincoln Fire Rescue District Budget Committee for the year July 1st, 2026 to June 30th, 2027. Today's date, April 15th, 2026. Motion number 3, approving the budget and tax levy rate general fund. Be it moved that the Budget Committee for North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District number 1 hereby approve the general fund budgeted for 2026-2027 as presented by the budget officer.
Or amended by.
Well, I haven't heard any opposition, so I'll so move.
We're not done yet. General fund fire service, $6,361,950. General operating contingency, $250,000. Unappropriated ending fund balance, $4,265,504. For a total of $10,877,454. Be it moved that the Budget Committee for North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District Number 1 hereby approve the amount of tax revenue for the general fund budget for 2026-2027 as presented by the budget officer and amended by this committee as follows. General government, 0.6783 per thousand of assessed value. Local option levy is $1.22 per 1,000 of assessed value. Now I'll take your motion, Jerry.
That's what I'm moving.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Dan Clinton, aye.
Monica Valencia,
aye.
Kathy Joy,
aye.
Renee Selvidge,
yes.
Jerry Cooksey,
aye.
Nancy Oxmal,
yes.
Tim Beattie,
yes.
Eric Creighton,
yes.
Jerry Werner,
yep.
Dan Drayton,
yes.
Motion passes.
Motion number 4, approving the budget and tax levy rate debt service fund. Be it moved that the Budget Committee for North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District 1 hereby approve the debt service fund budget for 2026-2027 as presented by the Budget Committee, accepted and amended by debt service fund, bond principal payment $745,000, bond interest payments $223,550, unappropriated ending fund balance $99,400 for a total of $1,067,950. Be it moved that the Budget Committee for North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District 1 hereby approve the amount of tax revenue for the debt service fund budgeted for 2026-2027 as presented by the budget officer, accepted by Taxes to levy, $985,751. Discounts and other uncollected amounts, $59,145. Taxes necessary to balance the budget, $926,606. Need a motion?
So moved.
Second.
And roll call.
Dan Clanton?
Aye.
Monica Valencia?
Aye.
Kathy Joy?
Aye.
Renee Sylvan?
Aye.
Jerry Cooksey?
Aye.
Nancy Oxnall?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Motion number five, approving the Budget Capital Projects Fund. Be it moved that the Budget Committee for North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District 1 hereby approves the Capital Projects Fund balance budget for 2026-2027 as presented by the budget officer and accepted. Capital Projects Fund Fire Service, $181,000 transfer. So our ending fund balance will be $181,000. Need a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
And roll call.
Dan Clanton?
Aye.
Monica Valencia?
Aye.
Kathy Joy?
Aye.
Renee Sylvan?
Aye.
Jerry Cooksey?
Aye.
Nancy Oxnall?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Need a motion to end the meeting?
If nobody has any other questions, I...
Was there any public comment?
Make the motion, we adjourn.
Second?
Aye.
Third.
Anybody have a feel how the election will come out on?
No.
You could save these for next year.
Only comments that I, to me, have been is, why did they order that goddamn ladder truck? That's the only comments I've heard.
The other one's gone.
Because we have, you have to have a ladder truck that reaches our highest hotel.
I'll call to close the meeting.
We have to have roll call to close the meeting, sorry.
Dan Clanton?
Aye.
Monica Valencia?
Aye.
Kathy Joy?
Aye.
Renee Sylvan?
Aye.
Jerry Cooksey?
Aye.
Nancy Oxnall?
Yes.
Monica.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next year.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thanks for...
Just FYI to everybody, the Lincoln City DMV is...